Right. The scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be starting chapter 28, starting at verse 1 through verse 20. We're going to eliminate, actually, verses 11 through 16. So after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Then we move to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And he ends with this, "And surely I am with you always till the end of the age." All right, will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we enter our time of sharing your word, help us to be open to receiving all that you wish to pour into us tonight. Help us to be open to receiving all that you, God, wish to pour into us tonight. Amen. So the servant topic tonight from God, presence and reassurance. So the story I just read is a very familiar one, and we probably shared that sometime within the last couple of weeks with you as we work through Lent leading up to Easter. But it's one of those very important stories, I think, because it really shares with us exactly what happened after Jesus was crucified. You know, what happened immediately before is just as important, but also what happens after also holds some significance. Now, we're told in the passage that I just read that the Marys came back after they had witnessed Jesus being crucified and placed in that tomb. They came back the next morning looking for Jesus. And you might ask, why would they do that? They had just seen him being crucified. He's dead. But this is actually probably a sidebar that I want to share, because I think it's an important piece of information to have. Back in those days, they didn't have the ability to do embalming as we now do here in the 21st century. And so they used spices to preserve bodies, right? To protect the bodies as they decomposed, to protect the bodies against any odors that might sort of flare up. Because as you can imagine, as a body decomposes, you know, there's a smell that comes with that. And so These women came back the next day with their spices, essentially to take care of God. This was an act of taking care of God by preserving his body with these spices. But when they came, he was not there. Jesus was not there, right? Now, I want to share with you, just to go back a little bit. One of the things that we know is that immediately before Jesus is crucified, there are about three or four important things that happen. On that Thursday night, he sat around a table with his disciples, and these are the men that he expected to carry on his work in the world, right? He had trained them. They had been with him over a long period of time, observing his practices. And Jesus expected them to carry on the work that he had started. One of the important messages that he left with them was to love one another as Jesus had loved them. And he also encouraged them to wash one another's feet, right? So this was sharing actually two essential acts of love and service. The other thing that happened is that after Jesus dies, then he's resurrected, he makes an appearance to the 11 disciples. And he asks them, and this is what we call the Great Commission, he asks them to go out into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So Jesus clearly, this was important for Jesus. Jesus clearly wanted his disciples to share everything that he had taught them. But the final thing he said, which was the last line of the passage that I just read, Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I want to jump forward a bit to where we are in the 21st century, and I want to share an experience I had last night, which clearly was not going to be part of my sermon, but after having had that experience, I thought there was some appropriateness to sharing that with you. So last night, I attended a gala for the Blanton Peel Counseling Center. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, the Blanton Peel Counseling Center, it is exactly what it is. It offers counseling. It was started many, many years ago by one of our previous ministers, Dr. Norman Vincent Peel, and a psychologist, Dr. Smiley Blanton. And their hope was intentionally to marry spirituality with faith. Now, every year, Blanton Peel hosts these awards. And the idea is to honor people who have gone through difficult times and have come through on the other side. But in that process, have engaged spirituality and have engaged faith in some way. Now, there was a young man who was honored last night, and he was so inspiring to me. I wanted to share a little bit of his story. He's a former NBA, a 12-year NBA basketball player. His name is Keon Dooling. Played for the NBA for 12 years, but he is currently a wellness counselor for the National Basketball Players Association. And he was given that award for championing the importance of mental and spiritual well-being. And I wanted to get that exactly as it was written because you don't normally associate basketball players in that realm of work, but this young man actually has now moved along from playing basketball, and he's only now 38, he's not that old, but moved into a life coaching situation, but his whole focus is around mental and spiritual well-being. And he entered that field probably not by intention, but perhaps by accident, because he had had an experience himself where he realized that he needed mental health counseling as well. And I'm not, he has written a book, so everything I'm going to share with you is in his book, and I'm going to tell you the name of it. What's Driving You is the name of the book. So I want you to know that, so you know that whatever I'm share, I'm allowed to share that freely because he has put it out there in the world, and I'm grateful that he has done this. But what Mr. Dooling shared with us is that, you know, he grew up in Florida. He was poor, had aspirations of being big basketball player. He accomplished that. He said for many years he played in the NBA. He had an exciting career. He was making millions and millions of dollars. He was, you know, he was at the top. You know, he had accomplished everything that he thought he had set out to do. He was having a good life. But at some point, he found himself, and to quote him, he found himself on the bottom floor of a mental institution. He had had a break. And he had had a major, major break. And he said, as you can imagine, as a basketball star, that wasn't an easy thing for him to accept. But yet, he was faced with this. This is something he had to deal with. Now, he did get through that period, because clearly he had to have a lot of support. He had to receive a lot of mental, spiritual counseling. Somewhere along the line, he discovered Dr. Norman Vincent Peale and his message, hence the reason he ended up being honored there as well. But one of the things that struck me, before he started sharing his story, he started going through about three or four people, some of them were right there in the room, who had walked with him along that journey. He talked about one of them was his mentor, who actually was right there in the room that night. But he spoke of his mentor being there. He met his mentor when he was 20 years old. And that mentor was with him when he was at the top of his career, making millions of dollars, having a wonderful time. But that mentor was always also a presence to him when he was in the throes of despair, when he had that mental breakdown. That mentor stuck with him through that long period and continued to walk with him on that journey. What I heard from Kayan last night was that this mentor was a presence to him. So sure, he needed to be in that mental institution. He needed to get whatever they said he should receive in order to be healed from a mental perspective. He got all that he needed from institutions for that and from professionals. But one of the things that he clearly indicated was that as he walked along this journey of highs and lows, ups and downs, hills and valleys, one of the things that helped him to get from where he was down there on the bottom floor of that mental institution to where he is today as a life coach and a dynamic life coach, because his message is so powerful. One of the things that helped him to get from that point to where he is today was the presence of people who cared about him. The presence of people. And that coach stuck with me because he met that coach when he was 20 years old. And I believe Kayan is now about 38, 40 years old. So it's over a period of 20 years. But that was important. But this brings me back to the message we just heard from Jesus when he appeared before those disciples. One of the first things he did when he was resurrected, one of the first things he did, he appeared before those disciples and he said to them, he's commissioning them to go out into the world and be disciples to others. And what that meant was that they were to go out and teach others what Jesus had taught them. But more importantly, what they were supposed to do was to be a presence to others as they went about doing their work. And so I said what Jesus did immediately before he died was important. And we know before he died, he sat in that upper room with his disciples. He broke bread. He had communion. But what he did immediately after was just as important, because it was something that he wanted to leave with us, to leave with us here on earth. And one of those things was to be a disciple to each other, to be present for each other. But the ultimate example of presence that came through in that story that was shared in the Gospel of Matthew was where Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus was saying, not only did I expect all of you to be there for each other and to be there for others in the world who need you, Jesus was also sending a message that while you go about doing whatever you're doing, that I, Jesus, will be with you always. I will be a presence for you as you move through the world, battling your challenges, helping each other, taking on responsibilities, living the life that I want for you. Jesus' promise at that time was that his presence was going to be there for those disciples and also for us. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to invite all of you, for those who wish to partake, to come forward and enjoy communion with us. As I said, communion was one of those last things that Jesus did with his disciples before he died. But the symbolism of communion, that's Jesus' presence. Jesus is no longer with us, but he left this symbolism of the bread and the wine with us as a manifestation of his presence with us always. Jesus' hope is that as we partake of communion, each time we do that, we remember Jesus' presence here for us now and here for us always. Amen.